We'll call a meeting to order. There is no quorum yet, so we won't go into the approval of minutes. Today, what we're going to do is have the Minnesota Management and Budget experts go through their budget books and give us an overview of how the budget book works and how the process goes for putting them together. I'll call on Gary Carter later to give a big picture overview of the governor's budget. Today, when you're going through the budget books, the intent is not to ask specific questions because we'll have all the agencies back at a later date. So don't start asking all sorts of questions because they may be able to answer them better than they think they can, but that's not what they're here today for. They're here today to just guide us through the budget book. Starting next week, we'll start going through the agencies. And Representative Paymar did leave a note indicating that everybody should look thoroughly at their books before we start going through it so they're familiar with the agencies when they do come in and we have some good expert questions to ask them. So without anything else, I'll call on you guys for whichever one of you is going to start.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jim King, and this is Keith Bogut. We are Executive Budget Officers at Minnesota Management and Budget. It's the new name of our recently merged agency. Our primary components of that are the old Departments of Finance and Employee Relations that we had the merger last June, so that's our new name, Minnesota Management and Budget. Between the two of us, we're assigned most all of the agencies that you have before the division in the budget here. I have primarily corrections in the judicial branch, and Mr. Bogut has Department of Public Safety and Private Detective Board. In our jobs at MMB, we assist with compiling the governor's budget, including all the preparatory work leading up to the presentation, which occurs this past Tuesday, and all the various and sundry documents that you see before you now. We've been asked to talk about a little bit about the process, the governor's budget process, and to orient you on the budget detail documents that you'll be working with through the session here. And please feel free to ask us any questions about this. We know it may be a little dry for some of you members, but you will need to be looking at these books, and you have a lot of hard decisions in front of you, so we want to please help you understand the information we're providing to you. We have provided a handout to you that gives some gives you some structure to our website, actually, where there's a lot of information available about the budget in addition to what you have before you here. You have in front of you, I think you all have budget books for the agencies that are that you have in there under the committee's jurisdiction, but there's also a lot of other information available about the governor's budget. There's a variety of summary information. There's information about such things as departmental earnings or fees, or there will be. It's not there yet, very soon. Professional and technical contracts, sort of summary overviews so you can get an idea of what's in the governor's budget overall. To give you some idea of what happens in the governor's budget process, some folks think, well, that pretty much happens when the governor announced his budget, which occurs this Tuesday, but there's actually a lot that happens before that we're involved with. Back in the middle of the summer, we start compiling the financial data that goes into the governor's budget, and that's basically the information from the past fiscal years. We're currently in fiscal year 9, and you'll be appropriating for fiscal years 10 and 11 in your budget. So we're looking at the historical information first, getting that aligned with the budget structures. Then the second thing, or the main thing we do, is to work on developing what the base budget is for fiscal year 10 and 11. And the starting point for that is the appropriations for the agencies that receive for this fiscal year 9. That's generally where you start from. However, there are a number of base adjustments, and we'll go through some of these in the document. Some agencies have. That gives you a different starting point. Most often, the base adjustments you'll see are for things such as one-time appropriations. This committee made a number of one-time appropriations to agencies in the last fighting your budget, so those items will be essentially taken out of the base for fiscal years 10 and 11. There's also forecast items for some agencies. The only agency that you have in this committee that has a forecast item is corrections. That has to do with the bed space needs, projecting out into the future, as they're usually increasing, and corrections have to provide the services to the offenders that are in the prison system. At the same time we're doing that, we're working with agencies to update their agency descriptions or narratives. Now, you'll see those in the budget document here, but we actually have those available to folks much earlier in the year so they can start reviewing that before we have the budget recommendations. But it's basically talking about the agency's missions and goals, some primary indicators, and some other summary information. In our budget process, things really start hopping about the time the forecast comes out, and you all heard about the November forecast, the big projected deficit, so that sort of gave us parameters to work within, and we've been working very hard. We were working very hard before that, but through November and early this month to put the governor's budget recommendations together. So the documents you see before you here are the detailed documents for the agencies that you have before you. In the fall, we also do make available to the legislature the budget requests from non-executive branch agencies to the extent that they supply those to us. So we also posted requests from for this committee for the courts and the public defender, and we also include those items in the budget here. Are there any questions about the overall budget process before we start talking about the detailed documents? I think what we decided to do is we're going to run through two agencies here, a small agency and a large agency, sort of to give you sort of the training wheels approach to the budget document, and then we'll give you probably the most complex agency in the document, and then we'll talk about a couple other items for the judicial branch. If you open your book to the Minnesota Sentencing Guidelines Commission, I believe you have tabs in your books for those, for all the agencies.
And again, if I can interrupt you just a second, we have a quorum now, so we might as well take care of the minutes of January 22nd and January 27th, I believe it is. Somebody want to move? Motion by Hillstrom.
Second.
Is there any corrections or additions? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carried.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and members, as I said, we'll start out with the Sentencing Guidelines Commission. This is a relatively small agency you have, so the number of budget documents are few, and they're very simple, but we'll take you through this, and then we'll take you through a much more complex agency, but just to give you an idea of what the budget documents look like. For the first page of each agency, it should be hopefully page one in your handout there, there's an index. This is system generated. It's especially helpful for larger agencies like corrections and public safety, but it does tell you which pages the various items are found at. The pages two and three, again, this is for a small agency. This is the agency profile. This information, we've been working with agencies to try to make this somewhat timeless, so it applies more than just to the biennial budget, but so we're talking about agency purpose, core functions, operations, and goals and measures. And we usually try to have this on the page two, an at-a-glance box that sort of summarizes what the agency does and some important information about that. This gives you an overview of what the agencies do. Again, this is a small agency, so we just have this at one level. For other agencies, we have documents like this at more than one level. If you go to page four, for sentencing guidelines. This is the key fiscal document that you'll be working off of, or at least for the small agencies, key fiscal document you'll be working off of. If you go across the page, you see numbers for fiscal years 8 and 9. Fiscal year 8 ended last year, so those are actual numbers. The fiscal year 9 numbers, we're still in the middle of that year, so there's sometimes items that can change in this, but this is a snapshot as of, for the most part, as of late fall. And then you see the columns for governor's recommendations for fiscal years 10 and 11, which you're going to be appropriating. And then the last column is the biennial comparison. So what I'd like to do first is the first section at the top of the page is direct appropriations by fund. These are the items that you'll be primarily looking at. Most of the agencies in this committee are general fund only. I think there's two or three agencies only that have other funds that you'll be directly appropriating. In the first two columns, you see the amounts that were appropriated to sentencing guidelines in fiscal years 8 and 9. And in some cases, if those amounts were adjusted through the biennium, those are the current amounts that are appropriated to them. In fiscal years 10 and 11, on the first line where it shows 609, again, that's the current appropriation level. You see that for both fiscal years 10 and 11. And then the recommended amount is 579 for each year with the net change of a reduction of 30,000. That's the governor's recommendation for the agency. There are no base adjustments for this agency. We'll see an example later where there's a base adjustment. But this is just the starting point is the 609,000, which was the appropriation.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I wonder if you might tell us, does this reflect any unallotment numbers that have been executed on the budget? Is that annotated anywhere in any of these figures?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Peterson, it is not. At this point, there's only one agency in the, I believe, under the committee's purview that has had an unallotment, and that's the Department of Human Rights. We will probably be updating the fiscal pages after the February forecast and the governmental supplemental recommendations. My understanding at this time we'll be updating the page to show that, but we're still actually processing those at this point in time, so we didn't have all the information available to put in the document. But for this committee, it's only the Department of Human Rights that's affected, and we can talk about that when we get to that committee. Moving down the page, then this shows expenditures by fund. Again, there's other special authorities in the statute for what agencies can do with their funds. There was some special authority provided for the current biennium for agencies to carry forward some funds for technology projects. That's what that. The $3,000 showing up in fiscal year 9 is. By the way, these are thousands of dollars on this page. The next line, direct appropriations. This shows the 611, 672. This shows actually how much the agency spent in fiscal year 8 and fiscal year 9. It's generally going to be different, somewhat different than the amounts that you've appropriated. Most agencies will usually not spend every last dollar in fiscal year 8, though the statutes allow the money to carry forward to fiscal year 9. So again, these are expenditure amounts. Then we see expenditure by category. There's compensation, other operating expenses. For some agencies, there's grants, and a few agencies have minor capital expenditures. Also, if there's more than one program, you'll see a breakout of the expenditures by program near the bottom of the page. And lastly, we see a indication of the full-time equivalent. This is the calculated amount to the actual number of units for fiscal year 8. All the other years are estimates based on the information we have at this time, but agencies do have flexibility within their budget, so that it's not, those numbers aren't always hard and fast. We've tried to make them as accurate as we can.
Excuse me, Mr. King. Representative Zylstra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking up at the direct appropriation by fund section, last night in Ways and Means and Finance, there were some discussions about percentages and how those are calculated. So at some point, can you please clarify how it is that you come up with the percentage number as well, so we all know where we're starting from?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hilton, yeah, I'd be happy to. The percentage number that you see there is a straight calculation. We have the governor's recommendation for fiscal year 10 and 11. Basically divide that or compare that to the current appropriations for fiscal years 8 and 9. So it's a biennial comparison, governor's recommendation versus appropriations in the current biennium. In other cases, you'll hear agencies as they come up talk to you about, well, we have this appropriation in this year and this appropriation in that year, and it's this increase or decrease over the base, but this is a straight calculation of the biennial change, and that's all it is.
Representative Hilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so does this take into account the unallotments that might have been done? I don't know if there were any in this section. Would this book reflect that if there were any?
If we update for, say, the Department of Human Rights, as I indicated earlier, they were one of the agencies, it would actually include that, but we have not, as I pointed out, we were not showing that update to the fiscal year 9 number yet. So it's just calculating off the appropriation level. If we update the books after the February forecast, and if the governor has supplemental budget recommendations, that number would be adjusted, and the biennial percentage would be adjusted also.
Thank you.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Following on that, I think that's an excellent question by Representative Hilton, but if you're going to be adjusting the books for any unallotment, and I understand it's just in one area here, but that would lower the percentage cut for, you know, if we had this with the adjustment from the unallotment, it would give us a lower percentage just because the base would be lower. So what I would ask you to do is when you do that calculation, be sure to kind of give us both so that we can really see. Otherwise, it's going to look like you're cutting the Department of Human Rights less when they've in fact been cut more because of the unallotment. So I just wanted to ask to make sure that we get that full information when it comes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Liebling, the base is calculated off of the appropriation amount. The unallotment is a separate process, and the reduced amount to get to the unallotment is not the base for purposes of calculating that for the 10 and 11 biennium. That's by statute. So maybe Mr. Carter wants to.
Mr. Carter.
Just a clarification on that, too, Mr. Chair, Representative Liebling. And for human rights, I believe the reduction was $300,000 for 09, and it is only a one-time reduction. So, as Mr. King said, the base will still be the same base, correct?
Correct.
Mr. King.
Representative Coles.
I'm going to pass for now, Mr. Chair.
If there's no more questions on page 4, we'll move to page 5. This is a change summary page. It's helpful if there's a number of change items for the agency. In this case, there's only one, so it helps help members in the public to understand what the change items are in summary to get to the total recommendation. So in this case, there's one change item for operating budget reduction, and it's reduction of $30,000 each year. Moving on to page 6, This is a change item page. You see the at the top of the title, you see the numbers at the top of the page, what funds or funds that impact. In some cases, there'll be revenue. Revenue impacts, those will also show up at the top of the page. And there's an explanation of what the change item is, what the governor's recommendation is, some background, relationship to the base budget, either total budget in this case, or perhaps a part of the budget if there's some change to a particular program. And there's a section on key goals and measures explaining how it'll affect the agency's accomplishment of those, and whether there's any statutory change necessary to implement the change item. And lastly, for this agency, we have a revenue summary. This agency had a small amount of revenues, and it breaks it out by non-dedicated. Those are revenues that go back to the general fund and dedicated. And the agency should be able to answer specific questions about the revenue sources on this page if you have those questions. For some more questions about Clinton Balance, I'll turn it over to Mr. Bogut here, and he's going to walk you through a big complex here.
1 second, Mr. Bogut, Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. I was just wondering where or if we show what's appropriate versus the expenditures for 0809. I see there's actually, there's basically $9,000 that we spent that wasn't appropriated. Is that going to show up in these reports?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, we do attempt to show both the appropriations for 8-9 and the expenditure. So if we go back to page 4 again, the top of the page is the appropriations. And where it says expenditure by fund, that's where it shows the amounts that are being that are actually expended. For the most part, in the current biennium, most agencies will have spent slightly less. This is a generalization, slightly less than their fiscal year 8 appropriation because they have authority to carry it forward to fiscal year 9. And generally speaking, the total biennial total will be the same. There's a few cases where that's not the case, but it's definitely going to be the same. In 10 and 11, for the most part, the expenditures and the appropriation, recommended appropriation levels will be the same.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Kelly.
I understand we show that here. I just wonder why we don't tally that to show did we break even, or did we spend more, or did we spend less, just on a light item there. Because here we overspent, and maybe other departments will underspend. I think it'd be nice to see just right out that from 08-09 how we matched up. Does that make sense?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative, it does show what they have spent or what they're planning on spending for the biennium.
Mr. Carter.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Kelly, I think some clarification is needed there too, because the direct appropriations this is what the legislature appropriates. And I don't know, I missed the first part, if they covered statutory appropriations. Statutory appropriations are it's in statute, so the legislature doesn't need to appropriate that money. And we're going to see that in some of the new initiatives. And you'll see under expenditures by fund why they went over. And they really didn't go over, but they have the statutory appropriations of $36,000 in there. So that is not included in that top line that Mr. King was talking about the direct appropriation. This is very confusing. The budget can be very confusing. And I just had to lighten things up here a little bit. I was reading something from Illinois where they said there is no education anywhere that can teach you the legislative budget process. You just have to go through it.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Mr.
Without getting caught, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, members, I'll try to explain again here that the top part of the page is the direct appropriations, those are the ones that you that you're dealing with in your budget bill, but agencies do have other funding sources, and Mr. Bogut will talk a little bit more about those in public safety. But generally speaking, there's agencies can have federal funds. There's some dedicated receipts. Usually agencies have authority to spend those, and those are included in the bottom part of the page. So if we try to segment out, at least for appropriation purposes, what you need, the numbers you would be dealing with. So that's in the top part of the page where it says trust appropriations. Everything below that includes all of their funding sources.
Mr. Bogut, you can.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, if you would please turn to your public safety tab and look at that first page of the table of contents. I'd like to start there. And the only thing I want to show you here is that we have a couple more additional documents, but also the focus of the budget is really goes from the broad. We start with the broad agency-wide numbers and then narrow it down to the program level. And from the program level, we go down even further into the budget activity level. And you can kind of see how that's laid out on that table of contents page there. But then if you would turn to page 4, you'll see the Department of Public Safety has sent what we call a transmittal letter. All the cabinet agencies are asked to have their commissioners prepare a letter from the commissioner that just explains it's an introduction to the budget, and it gives the commissioner an opportunity to talk about a couple of things that he feels are important or that should be brought to your attention. There's a short description of some of the change items and the funding sources. And other things that the commissioner might think is important. Again, this is only cabinet-level agencies prepare this. Then on page 5, we see the agency.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Either for the witness or Mr. Carter, the 30% of the funding for DPS that comes out of the general fund, is that all within the jurisdiction of this committee? Is all their general fund funding coming from this committee, or is it just driver vehicle services get some from the general fund or state patrol?
Mr. Chair, Representative Colt, I believe there is general fund in some of the other programs that this committee is not responsible for.
That's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
On page 5 is the agency profile, and this is just, a broad introduction to the agency as a whole. The agency purpose there talks about their major functions and their mission statement. Then we have the core function section describes what they do more specifically. The at-a-glance box is just intended to give the reader an idea of the scope and the breadth of the agency's activities, and you can kind of get a sense of the size and the amount of work volume that they're responsible for. The operations section down at the bottom of the page kind of introduces the different programs that you can see in this agency budget. And then finally, there's some contact information there. On page 7, we have an agency overview. This is the entire agency's fiscal picture. And we divided this up into several sections. We always start all the fiscal pages with the direct appropriation information, since that's the information that the legislature is the most interested and concerned about. And then each fund is listed separately within that general direct appropriation. And so here you can see, for the general fund, we have a current appropriation amount in fiscal year 2008 of $106,421,000. The recommended line item in bold there, that's the governor's recommended budget, and then there's a calculation of the difference you can see in fiscal years 10 and 11. So in this case, the current appropriation was $98,463,000. The governor's recommending $91,271,000 for a difference of $7,192,000. And in the right-hand column, you also see the calculation of the percentage difference. And we just systematically go through each of the different funds that have the direct appropriation. Then if you turn the page to page 8, you'll see the expenditure by fund section. Now, this is the difference between what was appropriated and what was actually spent. And so, in the expenditures by fund section, you see a line item for carry forward there. If the agency had carry forward, it would be shown there. And then we show again, we start with the direct appropriations and walk through just one line item for each of the different funds. And so you'll see the total amount spent under the direct appropriations for each of those funds. The section below that, the bold section statutory appropriations, this shows where an agency has statutory authority to spend money that comes in for specific purposes. In many cases, these amounts can be higher than the direct appropriated fund. And those two sections account for all the money spent by fund. You can see there's a total there at the bottom. And then we take the same information and we just break it out in different ways. And the next way we break it out is just a categorical spending. And what this does is it gives you the sense of how they spend their money between things like compensation, operating expenses, capital outlays, individual grant payments, local assistance, and categories like that. You notice that the total for any given year, the total of the expenditure by category does equal the total of the expenditure by fund. Again, this is just, we're just rehashing these numbers in a slightly different way to highlight different aspects of the spending. The final section on this page is expenditures by program. And again, the same numbers, includes all the funds, but it's just broken out into the different program areas of the agency. And then finally, on the bottom, we have an agency-wide FTE count. And you can see the changes in the number of FTEs that the agency has in each of the different years. In this case, it's on a slightly downward path from 2009 and 10 and 11. Now on page 9, we have a little bit of a different document. This is the change summary that Jim was talking about. And again, we start off, we go by fund. This is starts with the general fund, and it shows the 2009 direct appropriation amount. And then we see the technical adjustments to get down to the base. And as Jim said, most of the technical adjustments are one-time appropriations. So we start with the amount that was appropriated. In fiscal year 10, it was $98,463,000. Of that amount, $5,589,000 was one-time money appropriated by the legislature. So we subtract that out. And then we have one other adjustment, that was that PT contract base reduction. And what that was in the 08 session in Chapter 363, the legislature instructed the Department of Finance to allocate $1.875 million among all the agencies to reduce their budgets for professional technical contracts. And when we did that, Department of Public Safety received $35,000 of that amount as a budget reduction, a permanent base reduction. We also see then change items that affect this fund for this agency. And in this particular one, there's only one change item that has a direct impact on the general fund, and that is the DWI laboratory testing program. And I'll explain a little bit about this more later, but what this does is it's essentially a proposal to shift the funding source from the general fund to the trunk highway fund. And so what's in the general fund section at the top of the page, what it's showing is we're reducing the general fund appropriation by $1,568,000, and that leaves us with a total of $91,271,000. That's the governor's recommendation. And if the legislature were to adopt it, that would become the new agency base number. And then we just systematically go through the funds showing those same calculations. I guess I'd just like to point out to you, if you go a little more than halfway down the page, the Trunk Highway Fund, you'll see under the change item category, you'll see the other half of that DCA DWI lab testing program. And what that reflects is a $1,568,000 increase in the Trunk Highway Fund appropriation. And what I think the interesting thing about this document is that you can see on one document, one or two pages, all of the changes being proposed in the governor's budget. It starts with a base. It takes, you can see the technical one-time adjustments, and you can see the change items adding or subtracting spending, getting to the new base number. And that's the only document where you can see this, all these changes in the same place. So the rest of, you know, we just kind of go through the same funds through that, on that document. I guess that's all I want to say about that. If you turn to page 11, then you'll see, again, one of the change items.
Representative Cole.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. do we know, or can you tell us, and it's probably not an easy answer to this question, I recognize that, but how much money is the Department of Public Safety responsible in terms of administering grants appropriated by the legislature and then administered by the Department of Public Safety, and where does that money fall in? Does it fall into the other operating expense line item, or is it sprinkled throughout? Is there any place where that's consolidated, either in the budget books or is it just spread out all over the place?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Cole, if you look on page 8, in the expenditures by category, on about the middle of the page, there is you can't identify grant payments in the payments to individuals and local assistance lines. That may not be 100% of everything. I mean, there conceivably there could be some grant type payments under the other financial transactions section, but you know, by and large, the answer to the question is that's where you would see it, is in the payments to individuals and local assistance.
And Mr. Chairman, are those are both of those line items solely money that the department is appropriating out in terms of grants? Are they administered? I mean, is that all? Are those line items all grants that the department is administering, or is it a little bit of both?
It is just grants. What drives those numbers are the object codes in the accounting system. And there's a series of object codes that are used for grant payments of various kinds. There are many different kinds. They are all summed for whatever that agency would spend. Under those object codes, they would show up on each line.
Representative Cole.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, one more question. Do we know how much of the money that is administered by the Department of Public Safety for grants, the general fund money as opposed to money coming from other sources?
Chairman, that information is not broken out by fund in the site.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Cole, we could get that information.
Absolutely, yeah. It is available. It's just not in the budget documents.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not asking for it at this time, but I may. I'm not asking them to do a bunch of work just yet. Be ready.
We expect the department will have that information that will be available for you.
You may continue, Mr. Bogan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking at page 11, the alcohol and gambling.
Excuse me, Representative Eastland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, there's one to that point that we were just talking about the grants. Could we get a list of the grants? I don't care if there's the amount. Could we just get a list of all the things that are funded in that category? That would be an easy starting point, I think.
Yeah. We will request that from you. From the department, so.
Yeah, that's okay. Picking up here on page 11, this is an example of a change item page, and these again are laid out all in the same fashion. They have a table at the top that shows which funds are affected and how much money affects each one. There's a recommendation that explicitly states what the governor is proposing to do here and how much money and in which years. There's a background section that talks about the program or how this is going to impact the rest of the programs and areas, relationship to base budget. There's, in statute, the executive branch is required to identify key goals and measures, performance measures and outcomes, and we try to identify how those are impacted in the key goals and measures section. So you see on the next couple pages there are several different examples of those change items. And I think from there, that is the agency level discussion here. Then I would like to go to page 36 and start talking about one of the programs. This is the Public Safety's Criminal Apprehension Program. Now, there's two different ways that an agency can present their program information. They can have a agency narrative and a description of the overall program, and then subsequent lower level budget activity fiscal pages, or they can choose to just list the budget activities on the program page with a fiscal page summary and then have the narratives at the budget activity level. In this case, the department has chosen to show the information at the budget activity level since there is a lot of detail and it does bring out more information to the reader than it would trying to jump it all up on the program side. But each of the program levels on page 37 now, each of the programs have an individual fiscal page, a summary showing all the numbers. And again, it's laid out just like the agency level one was, with direct appropriations first, usually starting with the general fund, and then going through systematically each of the different funds. And it shows, again, the base adjustments, the technical adjustments that impact this program only, the governor's recommendations for this program, and then totals, giving you what the new base numbers would be. On page 38 is again just it's a program level view of the same agency page we went through before, where we're talking about expenditures. That's different than the appropriation numbers, but it does show how much was spent, again, by first direct appropriations by fund, then statutory appropriations by fund. We have the same expenditures by category section, and also the expenditures by budget activity. And then we also, you can see the FTE equivalents at the bottom of the page. Again, all program oriented. Then on page 39, we have a budget activity narrative. And again, you can tell anytime you see one of these pages, you can look at the top, you see the agency name, what program we're talking about, and also if it's an activity level, you'll see that activity description there also. The narratives are laid out in a similar manner as the agency overhead, but the categories are a little different. There's an activity description, just a brief couple sentences on what this activity is, who is served, what population is served by this activity, what services are provided. The activity at a glance box on the top right there again gives the count or, you know, information on the magnitude and scope of the work that's being done. On the next page, 40, there's also a historical perspective and key activities and goals and key activity measures.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a question that's a little more global, but I'm noticing on page 38 where you talked about the FTEs. The numbers that you give, are those the ones that you intend to have filled, or those are the ones that you are just want to hold over, and do we know how many in each section are actually filled or that you actually intend to fill? We're hearing that some folks are holding over and not hiring employees in order to make certain that their budget matches, and it's great if we have a real number, but if you're proposing this number to make your budget balance and then you don't have an intention of filling those, it certainly would be nice to know where those are.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hillstrom, what these numbers reflect are the actual number of employed, full-time employees that the agency expects will be hired, will be paid over the course of that year. This is not, there are no vacant positions here. This is all full-time filled positions.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hillstrom.
And that's the case for all of these departments?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
That's how the numbers calculated.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hillstrom, I would say that the agencies do have flexibility within their total budget amounts. You don't line item, have line item salary dollars. So they do have some flexibility. These are estimates of the amount of FTEs or positions that they could fund with given those funding levels.
Mr. Bogan, you may continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The last point I want to bring to your attention on the budget activity narrative is at the bottom of the page, there is a contact, a name and a phone number that you can call if you do have any questions about that particular budget activity. On the following page, 41, there is another fiscal page that shows the budget activity, the budget summary for this budget activity only. And again, it's laid out in the same manner, starting with direct appropriations. This shows expenditures by fund, starting with direct appropriations by fund and in statutory appropriations, same as we saw previously, and also an expenditure by category section and FTEs. And then from there, we just go on to the next budget activity. And I don't think I need to go through that again. So what I'd like to do is have you turn to page 119. This is at the back of the agency's book. And it is, the title page is called Federal Fund Summary. And what this shows is all of the federal funds that this agency receives. It breaks it down first by agency and program, and then within the program, it talks about all the different federal grants that are received by the agency. And so you can read through there and see, because not a lot of time is spent on talking about federal funds that agencies receive, but it can be quite substantial numbers in many cases. On page 127, there is a numbers table that shows the numbers, the estimated amounts that these agencies will be receiving for each of these grants. And you can tie out the grant name on the left to the description earlier on page 119. And it just goes in across the page. It starts with related spending in 2008, the primary purpose, in this case, SO stands for state operations, and there is a key to what all the different explanations are on page 131. That's at the bottom of this table. There are only four categories. There's state operations, grants to public political subdivisions, grants to individuals, and grants to community-based organizations. The table then identifies what the fiscal year 2008 revenues were, what the 2009 revenues, and then the estimated fiscal year 10 and 11 revenues are. And that concludes my prepared remarks. If there are any other questions, I'd be happy to.
Representative Eastland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to go back and pursue Representative Hillstrom's question that she had earlier about the FTEs. And tell me if I'm understanding this correctly. If you go back to page 38, we'll take that example, the Public Safety Department. We've got the 08-09 numbers, then we got the 10-11 numbers. So is what you are saying is that the 344.3 FTEs that were there in 2008 were people on the job?
That's correct.
Okay. Then the second question I have is, would it be possible by kind of by agency here, or department, however we want to define it, to take these FTEs that are in these positions and establish some ranges of salaries and tell us how many people fall in the different ranges?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Esau, certainly that is possible. That's something we could ask the agency to break it. I think it would be helpful if you gave us the categories you'd be interested in seeing, but certainly they can be broken down almost any way you want.
I'm just thinking it might be helpful just to see that in terms of just the level of pay, how many people are over X amount, how many are between X and X minus 10. I don't know, just so that we can kind of see what kind of salaries that we're paying people in these positions. I guess it just might be helpful to kind of get a picture of that as we move forward looking at every option.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To you to testify, as I look back, my question is really the FTEs also. As I look back on page 8 under the Public Safety Department agency overview, in the current fiscal year, it looks like there's about 2,172 FTEs projected in 2011 is 2,128, which is approximately 44 number positions lost. How many of those do you anticipate being filled through attrition or through retirement, you know, anything like that? Do you have that kind of data yet?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I can't say with certainty. My expectation is that those would all be lost through attrition, but that would be a question to ask the agency.
Any other questions for these gentlemen?
Mr. Chairman, there's no other questions. I have a few more comments about the judicial branch agencies I wanted to point out to the committee.
Yes, Chair, one quick question before we move.
Representative Cole.
And I was just paging through the book, and I'm kind of back on this FTE thing a little bit. On page 108, we've got the battered women's shelter services grants, local assistance. We're doing about $40 million, it looks like, in grants, yet we have nobody administering the program. Help me understand who's cutting the checks.
That's a very good question. And I don't have an answer for you.
Did you cut an internal auditor?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Cole.
I understand that this is Finance or Minnesota Management and Budget, and I guess when Public Safety comes forward to talk, I'd be curious. If as they're presenting the budget from their perspective, if they kind of address some of these questions as they get raised. I don't want to put it on MMB to try to explain that what appears and maybe is just an error.
Mr. Chairman, I think the answer might be that there is a central general support unit that issues those grants, but I just don't know. I know that they have a general support area, and it could just be that those are issued to them.
Representative Bingham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you refresh my memory? We have a bunch of task force, drug gang, financial crime. Did they have line items? I know some of that is grant money, and I was just wondering if you could refresh my memory of where they are in the budget or if they aren't in here.
Which grants
were there? No, I'm just wondering, we have various task force, whether it's the drug gang, financial crimes. We have a bunch of task force, and I was wondering where their line item is, and if it is not. I know that they do receive some grant money, but I was just wondering
I'll let Mr. Carter refer to that if he's ready to do so.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bigham, they would be under the Office of Justice program, and that's the program they were under. It'd probably be under some of their law enforcement and community grants, and they will receive some of them, like the gang and narcotics task force. They will receive federal funds, burn funds, and then additional to a state appropriation.
Representative Bigham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Then would we be, when they come forward, would they be bringing their own presentation of how much they allocate to each of those task force and how they dispense them?
Mr. Carter.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bigham. They probably will not, but I think it's been it's a request that will be put in, and I think several members have it. We can put that into the agency to have a breakdown of all their grants with by all funds.
Representative Bingham.
Thank you. Just one last comment. I think that's just important just to know that also how the funding in the individual organizations, what they've had from previous years to forward. I know that we've had a lot of requests regarding the grants, but I would just like to know from last year to this year what they've received, and I know that we'll bring a lot of them up front, but I think it's just important that we go through that too to make sure that we're not having double services, whether it's not just public safety, but throughout the whole process. That whether if corrections is doing the same thing as somebody we're giving grant money to, we ought to know and see who's doing it better and focus on that.
Representative Eastman.
I have one other thought, Mr. Chair. You know, there's in this grant area, there's when we look at the one that was just mentioned here on page 108, battered women shelters. There's some large amounts of money that we give out in some fairly large grants, and it would be interesting to know, particularly with some of the larger grants, how it's being spent in those nonprofits or agencies. I think at one point in time previously, we actually asked for an audit for some of those and found that some of the executive directors of some of these nonprofits that are getting these grants are getting some really big salaries. And I think that's something that we should really look at and consider at the state. Is that an appropriate way to be spending grants at a time when we're really, well, at any time, but particularly when we at a time of very short funds? But if there would be some way that we could look at the grant recipients, especially the larger ones, and have them account for how that is being spent, so we can at least see a little more transparency there.
Yeah. Well, Representative Eastman, once we get that list of grants, we'll probably get a good idea which ones we want to see. Mr. King, you can continue.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members, just a few comments about the judicial branch agencies. As you know, the courts and the public defender present their own budget requests, and I'm guessing many of you have heard from them already. In the budget document itself, I'll point you to the what we call the trial courts. I think your task is district court. The names are kind of interchangeable. Just to give you an idea, we have a letter from our commissioner at the head of those explaining generally what the governor's recommendations are for the judicial branch. And if you're looking at the trial court to district court, it's on page two. I don't think there's a number there, but it's page two. So we basically go through the same thing that we've done for the other agencies, but at the back, starting on page 12, we do have basically the judicial branch's request. We've reproduced a letter from the courts. We've reproduced a letter from the Chief Justice that you have in there describing their request, and then we actually have their. We actually show their budget request here, starting on page 18. So you will have that information also available to you as you go through. But they'll be coming. I'm sure you'll have them in, and they'll be making their request to you. So in the case of the governor's budget document, we show both the governor's recommendation and the agency request to clarify for you. That's everything we had for you, but we're happy to try to answer any more questions you have.
Are there any other questions for Mr. King and Mr. Bogart? If not, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I'll call on Mr. Carter to go through the overview of the governor's public safety finance recommendation.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Just let me say something about the budget, too. And this is something I picked up in some of the reading that I was doing on budgeting. And this is it's agencies have their own guiding principles. Number one is spend all your money and more if possible. Otherwise, the legislature will feel it did not screen the request properly and will cut your next biennial budget. Avoid sudden increases or decreases. The changes should be small. By the way, this came, I wish I had a quote, but I know it came from the state of Illinois. I think it was their fiscal bureau, that the ethical state that they have system guiding principles. But let me just point out that if you're going to read for members, if you're going to read one document in the budget book, it probably should be, I know your time is very valuable, but it should be the change item. Because that the change item is going to be like the fiscal note, and it's going to explain any of the changes that take place for the agencies that the governor is recommending. Very important. Because, like I said, we do incremental budgeting a lot, and that's to look at the changes from the base. That's what most of the time will take place in this committee. Although this year I think it will be changing because of some concerns that members have. They want to look at more of a zero-based budget or performance-based budgeting. But with that, members, you have spreadsheets, I think, in front of you. We'll go through the governor's budget briefly. Agencies will be giving you a much more detailed explanation on this when they come before us in the next couple of weeks. And it's basically the budget is laid out with the 08-09 spending on the first column. Then we have the governor's rec for the fiscal year 10 and 11 biennium. And then we also have what we call tails for new members. That's 2 years out past that. That's fiscal years 12 and 13. So we'll start on page 1, line 2 with the Supreme Court. There's a reduction there, 5% reduction. Total for the biennium is $3.198 million. That's for Supreme Court operations. By the way, Supreme Court has two programs. They have Supreme Court operations and civil legal services. Civil Legal Services is the other program. That also has a 5% reduction for the biennium, a little over $1.2 million. Court of Appeals, the governor is recommending there a reduction of a little over $1 million.
Is there anywhere in here where we see the number of FTEs that are represented by any of these budgetary numbers?
Not in this document, but you will see it in the budget book that they, for the FTEs. Okay. It will be the change from 09 to 010 if there's a decrease, and I think you'll see that, or an increase in some cases.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The district courts at the bottom of the page, they have basically an overall reduction of about 3.89%. They have the original reduction of about $25 million, a little over $25 million for the biennium. But then they also have increased funding that the governor is recommending for mandated services. Mandated services like psychological services, court interpreter services. We heard there's big deficiencies in there, so the governor is recommending a $5.586 million increase. On page 2, we have the tax court. This is an executive branch agency, even though it is the court. There is no change. The governor is recommending no change to the base budget. The one next to after that is the Uniform Laws Commission. Once again, the governor is recommending no change, no increase or decrease. Board of Judicial Standards on line 44. Once again, the governor is recommending no increase or decrease. But the Public Defense Board on line 49, the one item there is a reduction of $6.8 million for the biennium. Once again, this also is about a 5% reduction. Now we have public safety, and once again, we will go by public safety, by the programs in public safety that this committee is responsible for. You have Homeland Security and Emergency Management, the first one. Basically, there's base funding there, no change. The next page is under the BCA, is the next program. I just want to highlight, the first change item really is line 66, and that's a special revenue fund that's being appropriated. and that comes from, I believe it's 8% of the $250 reinstatement fee that, you know, if you lose your driver's license for a DWI, you have to have a reinstatement fee. And that's the 8% of the $250, and that goes to the BCA, and that is divided into 80% for lab services and 20% for the 299C statute, which is your buyback funds of witness protection. So right now it's a special revenue fund, and they want, in the past we would appropriate that money. But what happens if they take in more money from that reinstatement fee? The department cannot use it. So the governor is requesting that special revenue fund be turned into a statutory special revenue fund, like we talked about before, so we would not have to appropriate it every year. So that's the first change item under the BCA. The second item on line 70 is DWI lab testing program. I think both had this in the, was it, no, maybe it wasn't this one, but this is a change item, and it simply removes the funding from the general fund, and it puts it into the trunk highway fund. And that's for the biennium, that is $3.136 million. The next program is the fire marshal, or just the one item on that, that is now being funded by the surcharge on your insurance premiums. That's the special revenue fund. The governor recommends no changes there. Under the next program, line 91, it's alcohol and gambling enforcement. There we're having a transfer from the alcohol enforcement account to the general fund. Basically, this is a special revenue fund right now. It was created several years ago when they had the bars would stay open for some extra, I think it was an extra hour, but they would have to pay a fee. So that money is going into the special revenue fund, and according to the Department of Public Safety, I believe they cannot spend that. So simply they want to just move that money and transfer it to the general fund. Office of Justice Programs is the next program, and there's basically base funding there. On page 4, we have the last of our programs. This is the 911 Emergency Services Armor Program, and that's, once again, the governor is recommending base funding, no changes. After that, we have the Post Board, which is our special revenue fund. Once again, no change there. After that, on line 125, is the Private Detective Board. This is a small agency under this jurisdiction. The governor has recommended a reduction of $7,000 each year to this agency, $14,000 for the biennium. On line 131, we have the Human Rights Department. There, the governor is recommending a $716,000 reduction for the biennium. This is about a 10% reduction for that agency. On line 5, we have corrections. And first on line 141 is the first recommendation, the first decision item. And basically, the governor there is recommending an increase. And that for the institutions, it's $19.8 million, a little over $19.8 million. The change item page says this is due to the increase in wages, insurance costs, and pension obligations, and also due to the fact that they had unrealized bed savings. I think somebody brought this up before, in double bunking. They never reached the potential. I think they started out, the projections said that they would be double bunking 800. Now they can only realistically do, I think it's 200 or 300, but this will be covered later on. Line 142. Now, we always have issues in this committee, I think, that will generate discussion. And I just want to point out, I think this probably will take up a lot of time. This is a reduction in the corrections early retirement plan. In other words, the governor is recommending that they move people from the correctional plan into the state general plan retirement. There's a savings due to this. The savings that they're estimating for the biennium for institutions is a little over $6 million. On line 143, we have the next change item. This is also the governor's recommendation, and this is a reduction in dental services for the department. And the total for that is a little over $1.2 million in savings. Under community services, this is the other program in the Department of Corrections. There's a few change items there, decision items under the spreadsheet. Once again, the operational deficiencies that we talked about, the insurance cost, wage increases, the governor is recommending an increase of $1.841 million for the biennium. The next one is the corrections early retirement plan. This, evidently, this, there's a, must be a few positions under community services for total savings there for the biennium of $83,000. Next, we have a reduction in pass-through funding. Basically, I think this pass-through funding, according to change items, there's three items under that. There is some day, there's 2 day reporting centers that they're recommending not be funded. I think those day reportings are for probation violators. I think one is in Minneapolis and one is in St. Paul. The next item is 8 day hold facilities. These hold juveniles, can hold juveniles for up to 8 days. And it would affect Brown, Carver, Polk, and Washington County. And the last item through that is the restorative justice grants. I think there's about 12 to 20 restorative justice grants that they are recommending not be made in the future. And these are throughout the state. Next on, the next program is operation support on line 161. Once again, we have that operational deficiency that we talked about. It's spread out through all three programs. And the total for that is an additional amount of money appropriated or recommended for corrections, a little over $1.1 million. Then in the last item under corrections, the governor is recommending a reduction of about 5% to the operation support program. This is the central office. And that comes out to, for the biennium, about $2.2 million. The last program on page 6 is sentencing guidelines. The governor is recommending a $60,000 reduction for the program. You can see, though, that the totals with all the funds, and we are growing in our special revenue funds, that the total with all funds the governor is recommending is close to $2 billion for the biennium. Mr. Chair, that's basically the governor's recommendations.
Are there any questions, Mr. Carter? Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Carter, I want to revisit that question about salaries.
Mm-hmm.
How can we, I'm not sure I agree with Representative Eastland about how to see that data, but I do think that we should be getting our arms around that some way because of the whole issue of, you know, laying off people versus reducing or holding salaries steady and that kind of thing. And I'm just wondering what your recommendation would be about how we might get our arms around that, especially, you know, management salaries. I just kind of like to see if there's equivalency among different departments in what people are earning for equivalent kinds of positions and that kind of thing.
Mr. Carter.
Mr. Chair, Representative Liebling, I think we could do that. We could request, I think, from agencies, maybe we wouldn't want to do all salaries, but we could, you know, highlight certain salaries, and that maybe that are similar amongst agencies, and, you know, ask for the salary ranges and maybe what the individuals are receiving in those salaries.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the other thing, Mr. Carter, I think would be helpful, too, to get a handle on union versus non-union, because that's, you know, how we would go about dealing with this whole issue if we choose to go there. So if we could get that kind of information as well, I think it would be helpful.
Sure.
Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a question on the line. I've got a few here, if you'll indulge me here. On the reduction in early retirement corrections plan, is the early retirement corrections plan, is that a ongoing plan, or was that something that was put in place to reduce manpower ability, you know, to reduce some of the manpower requirements?
Mr. Carter.
Mr. Chair, Representative Peterson, and corrections can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but this plan is originally started out for correctional officers. And it has some incentives in there that the correctional officer, and I think there were special ed teachers, and I think this took place around 1973. And it gives an incentive, I guess, maybe to work in corrections. It has an early retirement. They can leave at age 55. And they also have health insurance then until they're eligible for Medicare. And since 73, in the 90s, they started adding positions. They had the legislation said that if you have a job classification that you're required to work at least 75% with inmates, you could fall under that retirement program. The program is, because it's a little more generous, the correctional plan, the employee contribution, for example, I think in 09 will be 11.1%, where under the general plan is 4.75%. So in other words, and the other individuals that can qualify for that program in the 90s were like nurses, you know, other, even I correction for me, some maintenance people, caseworkers, people like that, or, you know, job classifications like that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would assume at some point we're going to have a testimony that's going to address this particular program specifically. And Mr. Chair, just one follow-up question here on line 70 and 71. We're talking about taking the monies from the general fund and taking more to the trunk highway and for BCA. So are we saying here that these monies are no longer coming from the general fund, that they will be coming from the trunk highway fund?
Mr. Chair, Representative Stevens, you are absolutely right on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Carter, this kind of goes to your opening statements where you're talking a little bit about how dollars are spent maybe the first year to the second year. Are any of these agencies required to report periodically variances of budget? And if not, do you see any merit to that?
Mr. Carter.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kelly, not that I know of. I mean, correct, I mean, finance, might Mr. King, or if you have, I don't believe so. I mean, you know, we budget for 2 years, and if there are deficiencies or if they need more money, we'll address that in the supplemental budget year, which will be next year. I don't know if I'm getting at your question or...
Sure. Well, I'm just curious. As you said, maybe sometimes our budgets are spent just because they're there. So I'm wondering if we saw a periodic variance to budget where we're seeing dollars sitting there, then we would be able to see, and as the other representative were talking about where the expenditures are, we would see maybe where the quick expenditures are coming from, yeah, towards the end.
Sure, Representative Kelly. I mean, that's a good idea, and it's something that maybe the committee wants to look at. We looked at that a little last year when we started going into the budget. We found, for example, that 8-day hold that we talked about that they want to abolish, well, we found out that there was money sitting in the account because one of the counties, I think it was Olmsted County, dropped out of the program. So the money was just sitting there. So, I mean, it's sometimes you find those pots that you know, cannot be spent. I think public safety is addressing that too with their alcohol, that the gambling that's in there, that's the night, you know, the closing, late closing for bars. That money is just sitting there, and the governor is addressing that to the general fund.
Thank you.
Mr. Representative Carnage.
Mr. Chair, I was just going to mention on the 55 early out, that was primarily for, I think, corrections and law enforcement, the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, the state troopers, the conservation officers, Fugitive Apprehension Task Force, and Gambling Enforcement Agency, the MLEA, I think, is all eligible for that. And the premise was that at 55 in law enforcement that long, you're about ready to retire at 55 before you get burned out. Some dinosaurs still remain, but and the other thing was that I think it was meant to be a savings originally, because you remove a person at the top pay scale and then you bring in a new person, there's a huge difference in pay, and so there was some savings there from state. It wasn't just a giveaway program to make an attractive job, I think. So
Mr. Carter.
Mr. Chair and committee members, and I don't know if I clarified this in the beginning, but it does not include everyone that they're taking out of that plan. They're leaving correctional officers. I think it's one correctional officer, one through, I believe it's captain, that they will still stay in the plan.
Mm-hmm.
but it's the others, the teachers, the nurses, the other job classifications.
Are there any other questions? If not, we will stand adjourned.